shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No!
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you!
Welcome back, interweb friends, to Stop the Movie I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make one of them. I am Cody Wolf. I am joined here by Jackass Rook.
You could say we're delivering you this podcast by hand. Solo. Except we're not solo.
Yeah. Returning is Nick Newhart.
That was awful, Jack. Not as awful as the special, but that was still awful.
Yes. And also returning, you haven't been here for a while, but Farah Jadran, who's... who was on the Street Fighter?
Yeah. That was like 3 years ago. Yeah. But because today's December 13th, we now have 12 days of Wookiee cookies. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm disappointed Jack didn't bring any Wookiee cookies today.
I didn't. I'm sorry.
Where's your Life Day spirit?
I don't know. I left it in space with my red cloak and my glowy ball.
But we'd just like to wish everybody a happy Life Day today. In celebration, we are... reviewing the, what year was it,
1978, the legendary
Star Wars holiday special.
The one that George Lucas and Lucasfilm have tried to ignore, suppress. Lucas himself said that he would destroy every copy if he had the chance.
And a sledgehammer.
Actors have admitted their embarrassment or have ignored that they were in it.
It's really shocking when I was watching it that like Harrison Ford was involved with this. And
that's why I thought it was a joke. I was like, Jack's pulling my leg. This is not real. Harrison Ford was probably in a fake trailer, but he is there.
You can actually
his
see.
Felt like a joke.
You can see in his eyes the moment where he finally. He's been known the last few years to just not give care. A damn. Like there's a paycheck. All right. I mean, not to the Nick Cage degree as the podcast has shown before, but. You can see the moment where that was born in this, when he's just holding a child in a Wookiee costume and questioning every decision that led to it.
Boy, Lumpy, you've grown.
So I guess getting into it.
Well, we got a plot here, I guess.
Do we? Because I feel like the cartoon was more explanatory than... Well, the missing cartoon. Was more explanatory than anything that happened in the action.
Well, we had to watch this online. Yeah. This film only exists in bootleg form, basically, because Lucasfilm has sworn it off. So we had to, obviously, we had to search outside of the realm of normal viewing to find
also
it. Like YouTube.
And also known as
pretty,
YouTube.
YouTube and the web. Things. Well, yeah, but to find, like... It, to get this thing even in pieces in that was sort of
smugglers in a cantina.
It speaks to how they tried to suppress this, but you can find it very easily if you know where to look. And
just online.
Type it into Google.
If you really type thinking into Google, YouTube was going to be so far ahead of its time. No one's ever going to find this.
Even though they're basically watching YouTube in the movie, they kind of we're looking forward to
it. Watching SpaceTube like 10 different times.
It is.
And internet porn.
And internet porn, oh that's God. Right.
I guess webcams.
That was so disturbing. I could not believe that the grandpa had some erotic adventure.
And then it lasted that long.
And he was like totally shaking and getting into it. I was like, what is this?
That went on forever.
Yeah, it dragged.
I gotta leave, guys. I'm sorry.
This actually happened. Movie begins with shameless stock footage from Star Wars, which is now known as Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, where the Millennium Falcon is being chased by...
This is Star Wars Episode 4.5, No Hope.
There is no hope in this film, but there's an awful lot of life, and this is what this story is about. Life. Life Day. I will convince you that this movie is amazing. No. So it opens with this shameless use of stock footage, which will occur again in this movie, where the Millennium Falcon is being chased by some Star Destroyers, and then it cuts to a rather hastily lit Millennium Falcon set with Chewbacca, who I'm assuming is Peter Mayhew in costume, and of course our hero Harrison Ford, who actually showed up for this.
If they got Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, Peter Mayhew.
Yeah, everyone else is there.
So the
but he's got he can deny it though. He can be like, no, that wasn't me. That was totally someone else.
He could because he's in a costume. Yeah. That's cool. He could. He has that ability.
Him and
that
Kenny
no one
Baker
else
can
do.
Both deny it.
But they're listed on the IMDb.
And they were, I was going to say, they were listed.
So anyway, there's this series of lines about, oh, we got to get to this rebel blockade so I can get you home for Life Day. So, like, basically, Han Solo is risking his life and limb to get Chewbacca to his home planet.
Which, by the way, this is the most optimistic I've ever seen Han Solo.
That's why I felt off. Don't worry, pal.
We'll get you home just in time for Life Day.
Yeah, he wasn't...
Haven't missed one yet.
Yep.
used to seeing Han Solo being like cynical and sarcastic, but it was just felt off.
We're just being fired at. It's totally okay. We're gonna dodge all these. Right. We'll get there. That's fine.
Well, he makes his jump to hyperspace, and then we get to Kishik, which is the Wookiee's homeworld. And for the next, what is it, 20 minutes?
It's just about.
We're in eternity.
It was about felt like one. It was about 13 minutes.
You timed it.
I timed it.
At one point.
From the start of the special, I mean, 13 minutes, so minus the 2 minutes of Han and
Chewie on there. It was usually 10 minutes, yeah.
But 10 minutes of nothing but.
Yeah. Oh, I thought I was going to lose my mind during that. I'm like, if this is what the whole movie is.
Just 10 minutes of awful pantomiming. Yeah. And
I honestly thought, at the 5 or 6 minute mark, I honestly thought that like, there had to have been subtitles here that they just are missing.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, where are the subtitles?
Like, because nope. There's, I mean, just the thought, because you don't know what's happening. You don't know what they're talking about. You don't know. I honestly didn't know who they were.
They sold ad space, timed it out. Yeah. Oh, crap, we got 10 minutes left. Put the costume back on.
I mean, it's like 3 minutes of the kid, Lumpy.
Lumpy's
pouting a lot. And I was just really concerned for his safety because it seems like they were really hard on him. And what did he do that was so wrong?
Yeah, he's just annoying. Yeah. Do you hear the sound he was making when he's like flying that X-Wing around?
Well, like
that
Itchy, this old toothless Wookiee is like carving an X-Wing out of wood.
Looks like Sling Blade.
He does look a little like Sling Blade, doesn't it? And
trying to think, how do you put a southern drawl on?
Okay, so he's got his spaceship, and Lumpy's playing with the toy spaceship, and the mommy Wookiee is wearing like an apron in a kitchen, and he tries to sneak a cookie, and she basically tells him no cookie. And he sneaks the cookie anyway, and then he has to take out the garbage. And this is happening. This is mundane. In a Star Wars movie.
It's really happening.
This is in a Star Wars. And there's this cheesy music playing, and then she starts looking, like, searching, like on some computer for, like, communications, looking apparently for Han Solo. And she keeps picking up a photograph, like a Sears portrait of Chewbacca in a frame. And we're supposed to put the pieces together.
Well, I figured it was Chewbacca's family, but I didn't know, like, because you don't understand them.
I thought that was the mom and dad.
Yeah, I thought that was his parents and then, like, his
little brother. Yeah. Yes.
And I didn't figure it out until the end when they finally come together.
So they Wookiee on Wookiee action?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get there. But I just, you know, they keep saying Chewbacca's family. Every time they make a video call, a Skype call to anybody, they're like, oh, it's Chewbacca's family. So they never say, like, oh, it's his dad and his wife or whatever.
Right.
So at this point, I really didn't know their actual relations.
No.
Again, Skype and FaceTime all ahead of their time with this movie.
George Lucas should be proud of this.
He really should. He predicted so many things.
He did.
I feel otherwise. Continue to be ashamed, George. Oops, sorry. Continue to be ashamed.
Yes. please be ashamed.
Yes. So the contact, is this where we get Art Carney? Oh,
no. First we got, Art Carney. Excuse me. I was thinking because, Harvey Korman.
She contacts Art Carney, who's like this junk shop owner.
A trader
on the Wookiee planet. And he sells random gadgets and gizmos like he's an inventor.
I assumed it was on the Wookiee planet, but then later there's a blockade, so no one can come in or out from the planet. But then he says, well, I made it past the blockade.
So he must be on another planet.
Now, again, I might just be putting more thought into it than who wrote it.
But he was saying, like, this is the stuff I sell to Wookiees.
My point is...
My point is,
we've already put more thought into this and the plot of it than...
Maybe there's a blockade between his shop and the...
Well, somehow, this is what I really don't like.
Block between reality and this.
There is. A mental block in the writer's room.
Who knows how it works in a galaxy far, far away.
They just got Art Carney and said, hey, you're a recognizable television face. Put on a vest and you're now a member of the Star Wars universe. Okay.
Done. Check.
He's kind of this playful sort of shop owner, and he's like trying to avoid the Imperial officer who's like, perusing his shop, clearly, like, you know, sinister music is playing, and he's like, uh-oh, and that's when he gets his visicall from Chewbacca's, at this point, we don't know, Chewbacca's mother/wife/sister, and he can understand her, and he's trying to speak in code,
we'll
deliver that shaggy carpet you wanted!
Well, and it basically just turns into like an episode of Lassie. Like, yeah. What's that, Mala?
Yeah.
Chewbacca hasn't returned yet for Life Day.
Oh, yeah, because they call Luke Skywalker, too, don't they? Yeah. Though, we get Mark Hamill.
Lassie was on 2 feet. That was basically all this was.
I see the photograph of Chewbacca you're holding. Let me talk to him. She's literally pointing at his picture.
So bad.
It is so awesome.
It was just... Also,
Mark Hamill was wearing a little too much makeup, too, I thought. In this
he looked
scene.
Weird, yeah.
He did. He looked
like
weird.
He was wearing, like, a lot of makeup.
It's like George Hamilton style that look.
And
he's staring. Holiday season, he wanted to look tan. Yeah,
I guess so. Like, he was
and
on
it was
some
just unsettling, him staring directly at the camera. Yeah. Like, it was just slightly off-putting. It took me a minute to realize, like, what is he looking at me? Don't use your force powers on me.
Looking past
so basically,
you.
Again, to inject into the utter boredom of watching the unintelligible Wookiees having fun in their little Wookiee apartment or whatever, we get Art Carney, who is apparently a rebel who is trying to, who's their like contact to get to Han Solo somehow, because they have to go through him to get to Kishyyyk, I guess, for some reason, and then they call Luke Skywalker just to get him into the story. And he's just like, don't worry, I know my buddy Han will get your Chewbacca home in time. And now we fully know what we've already assumed, which is, of course, Chewie needs to get home. This sucks.
It is just a lot of, when's Chewie getting home?
He's
a little late.
It is.
I'm trying to think of where he even goes from here. I think this is...
The kid watches, like,
this is when we
five,
get into
10 minutes
very...
of...
scary video.
Oh yeah, he puts in a disc, like a holographic disc, and these circus characters start doing backflips.
Oh, yeah.
Which is
table.
Coming to Syracuse soon.
Is it
which
really?
I saw on the billboards on the way here.
Cirque du Soleil?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's coming here. Shen Yun, which again was featured back in, you know, the '70s for this holiday special. Again, ahead of its time.
It is.
You
have a couple of good points.
You know, he's enthralled by this video, and then the guy morphs out of the little space, and now he's almost life size.
Yeah.
And at different parts, that instrument he's playing is actually playing, and he's not playing it. So bad editing there. But
I think he just got bored with what he was doing.
Maybe he's like, you know, like, you're playing music. I don't really have to be putting in effort for this. Not sure what was happening there. Maybe it was another, we sold this ad space. Let's make sure that there's some ridiculous...
Yeah, well, I think it was...
Bright colors, yeah.
I think the people who did it were, like, variety show people. And so this is a very variety show.
This was... they just
without took, really being a variety show.
They just took a stock variety show rundown and threw Wookiees on either end of it.
Because, I mean, there's plenty of scenes like that where it's like, why is this happening? Why am I watching it? And this is just the first one, and this was where I was like, uh-oh.
The original scene with the shopkeeper, we get 5 minutes of apparently Mala, I think that was her name?
Mala, yes.
Yeah, she's just watching him try and sell something to an Imperial trooper, and it's just, why is she...
She's supposed to call him to get the information as to, hey, have you heard from Han Solo? Because I know you're in the Alliance. And he's like, shh, there's an Imperial here. I can't talk about that. But then why not just call him and say that instead of just call him and then, like, creep on him for, like, 20 minutes. And then, oh, she's on the phone. Oh, I'll go and talk to her. The VisiPhone or whatever, right? Nope.
FaceTime.
Filling time with FaceTime.
Skype.
Yep.
And then this is around the same time where Itchy has his moment with the weird.
Not yet. First we get the cooking.
Oh, then the,
show.
The cooking
now,
show.
So now
everybody's
get...
literally getting their times with like video entertainment.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, which is an analog for what the kids at home are doing. They're just sitting in front of the TV and watching this crap entertainment. So that maybe that's the message.
I felt like
part
way through. I felt like that. Like it was. Well, because this is when I thought like George Lucas was more involved. I don't think he's very involved, but I'm like, I thought he was making some statement on consumerism or television.
Nobody was paying attention to anyone on Life Day.
Yeah,
I think
that's
okay,
true.
Because 12 days from now, everyone's going to be doing that on Christmas Day.
Yeah,
that's true.
They're watching
gadgets and whatnot.
They're going to be watching
the iPads. And...
What I think Star Wars always needed, the one thing it was missing, was Harvey Korman in a dress. I think that's what Star Wars needs.
Yeah, this segment where Harvey Korman is basically playing Julia Child.
Yes.
Making
a Bantha surprise.
Is the first of the three worst things I've seen Harvey Korman do. And you all three of which are in this special. And
you don't want to say, you know, usually don't associate Harvey Korman with bad things, usually. Not you usually.
Know, not usually, no. I hate the special for making me loathe Harvey Korman a little bit.
Yeah.
Normally I love that man, but...
No, doesn't work here.
I just wish we could play this clip. Just the stir.
Stir beats. Five minutes of just... And he's got like four arms.
But that's the other thing. You need four arms to make this...
The Bantha Surprise?
This, yeah, you need to make this meal. So how is Mala
ever going to hope to make this?
Exactly. She wasn't doing it right. I just want to point that out.
But yeah. She was enjoying herself.
Setting unreasonable expectations for herself.
Life day is ruined because that is not going to be a
good
dinner.
And can we mention, this is like a 10-minute scene. Mala watches a cooking show.
We
get the joke about a minute in, and it just keeps on going.
And then it gets seasoned with like 9 more minutes, and he's still going.
Well, we're getting beaten and stirred by this movie. Yes.
You could say this cooking segment was overcooked. Well, then that is still far better than the jokes that show up in the comedy.
And then Mala just gives up like halfway through the video.
Like we should.
She just kind of got bored with it and turned off the TV and just. They never showed them like eating that meal, so I figured she just kind of threw it away and was like, forget this.
Yeah.
So then that's when the traitor comes to the house.
I forget his name. Yeah, Art Carney comes to the house.
Yeah, he comes to the house and he brings life gifts. Yes.
And he brings them information, which isn't really information. It's more just, don't worry, Han and Chewie will get home.
Yeah, basically.
So now we know that this guy is like a member of the Alliance and that he's friends with these guys and he's brought them Life Day presents.
Yes,
he begs a kiss out of Mala.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was crazy.
Like he's a dirty old man.
He brings Mala basically a YouTube machine, I think is all it is. Because that's all they show.
It's the Jefferson Starship in a box. We'll learn that
basically
later.
All it is. And he gives,
that's what I got my mother this year. Yeah.
He gets, hopefully she doesn't listen to this podcast, she'll know.
Well, you know, she's been busy lately. She won't get around to it until after the holiday, so.
Lumpy gets some, they show what it is later on, he uses it, but I don't understand, like, what exactly that is.
It's a plot device.
Yeah.
It is literally a plot device, actually.
That's actually what it's called, plot device, by Acme.
Yeah. And then, the creepiest one, he brings,
oh God, here
he brings Itchy, like, a program.
Well, he starts talking it up. I can't remember what the exact words were, but I got something real for you that I... It was very creepy.
Right, but he goes, and let me just say, wow.
He's talking it up
to Itchy, and I'm thinking to myself, actually, I wrote down, did Grandpa get Wookiee porn?
Yes. Except it wasn't Wookiee porn, it was like human porn.
It was creepy.
I mean, it was a webcam, is what it basically
Basically,
is.
It was, yeah, he got he, a cam
he sits,
show.
Yeah, he sits
well, She in, says that she's the woman of his fantasy, so he, like, created her.
I don't know.
So it's more like a holodeck thing from Star Trek, right?
But wouldn't...
Or Demolition
the
Man.
Have, or Demolition Man.
Wouldn't the traitor have created her, though, since he gave him the program? Or is the program just...
Well, it is a human that he created, or at least an alien that looks more human.
So is he creating the fantasies for Itchy?
Maybe to surprise him.
That's getting creepy.
I don't know, but we get into what could best.
He knows what's on it.
Look, we're not here to kink shame.
We're not here to judge.
But we think it's questionable that this was part of what was ostensibly a children's holiday special.
That's what troubled me the most.
Yes, because you get Itchy sitting down in like a chair with like a helmet visor thing on it, and the traitor like loads in the program that just goes to what he's seeing, which is just a woman like. Oh, I'm glad you came. I'm glad you can experience me. It's weird. Well, like,
and then really the glitch of her saying, you're adorable, how that played.
I think he was playing that back.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Is that at first I thought it was a glitch, but no, he played it back so that he could hear her call him adorable 3 times. Yeah. And I thought,
and he's
wow.
like shaking and like, hey,
yeah.
You know what he's doing.
Keep telling me.
You know what
that.
The shaking is supposed to represent. So let's move on. No, and she sings a song.
Well, then
it's supposed to represent more time. Okay. I'm not clear. What's it supposed to represent?
I'll tell you when you're ready.
Why are you touching him? I'm uncomfortable.
I'll tell you when
Still
you're ready.
Still less creepy than that scene, though.
I'll tell you when you're ready.
The touching his shoulder just now was less uncomfortable.
Yes.
But only less uncomfortable.
I liked it.
Well, don't worry. The day is young.
Life day is young.
Life day is young.
But yeah, then it goes like even weirder because she just starts singing a song, which is basically...
It's like this weird... It almost kind of reminded me of a James Bond thing where like the floating girl and the song and the sparkly colors and... I hate to bring that up, but that's kind of the first thing I thought.
Honestly,
of
Roger Moore could have walked out at some point.
Roger Moore would have fit into this.
Yeah,
somebody had a lot of fun with the different angles of her singing and fading them in and out, like way too slowly. So I was like, whoa. Yeah.
I wonder if they just had her for like 5 minutes. And they like put like 10 cameras on her and some shimmery lights and sparkles.
Then they played with all the effects that were probably available at the time. Just different.
Exactly. They were like star swipe, fade, swipe.
Editing that Cuba Community College could pull with her.
You think this was done by a CCC
Jack does use a lot of these
a first year CCC student.
Jack did this just 2 weeks ago. I mean, I think that's why he was a little too excited about this particular movie.
This was the porn for him, was watching the video wipes.
I was proud of these wipes.
Jack was rewinding that. Oh, star wipe.
See, maybe there's more lessons to be taught here. Not just, you know, let's not ignore each other with our gadgets and things like that. But this is what happens when you let porn creep into the house.
It is.
It didn't really have any negative effects, though.
No.
Well, I mean, Itchy
creeped out the audience.
It creeped us out.
But... Itchy was the only one that really experienced it.
I'm just saying he could have gone into his bedroom.
I was just going to say, another room would have been appreciated.
In the middle of the living room. While his son is in the corner playing with his
another room for Gramps would have been super.
I don't know how Wookiee society works, all right, but it does seem creepy.
Well, Lumpy's got like an upstairs loft. Why doesn't Grandpa have some separate quarters?
These spoiled Wookiee millennials.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Grandpa's in the porn room again. So
go to the porn chair. That's Itchy's porn chair. I would have loved a scene where there was sort of like an after-school special moment where Lumpy sits in the chair.
That's insane. And Lumpy
sees it. He doesn't understand. So Mala has to sit him down and talk to him and have a heartfelt conversation with him.
You can't understand.
A very special episode of Blossom. Kind
about
of like one
when
of those
young
moments.
Wookiees that meet is... each other, and then some Full House music to kind of wrap up what we've learned.
Bob Saget could have just totally no explanation. Yeah. Just it's Bob Saget as
he
Danny Tanner.
Yeah, right.
He comes in. Sure, why not? Sure.
Yes. So then,
what are you talking about, Wookiee?
So what is this where the stormtroopers then come?
Yes, basically the house gets, they're searching house for house because they're looking for, generically, they keep getting interrupted by these national, I'm assuming they're like nationally broadcast or planet-wide broadcast, like, we're the evil empire, you must stay indoors, we're going to search house for house, and there's sort of this generic bum, bum, bum music, and then these stormtroopers.
I don't think they call themselves the evil empire.
Well, I know, but that's the idea. And then, like, the door gets kicked in, and they're, like, searching house for house because they're looking for Chewbacca because they believe he might be a rebel, considering that they know, obviously, that he assisted in the destruction of the Death Star. So there's no, in my opinion, from their perspective, there's no second-guessing about it. But apparently they only suspect he may be
Minor
a rebel.
Minor details there.
So
they come, and they're just going to search the house. And it's really just, like, 10 minutes of them searching the house.
Can I just say
jerks.
The searching well, was totally unnecessary because you're like chillaxing in their living room. Then you went up and kind of just tore up Lumpy's room.
Yeah, like they didn't.
You watched Mala's starship.
Jefferson's starship.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, what the?
Yes.
This is a really tough
house call.
Yeah. Basically, I think like the traitor like just is trying to distract him, so he sits one of them down to show him
check out this new device.
Which
I have.
Also went on for 10 minutes.
Yeah, that was a long music.
That was a long song. Music
and
video.
And it's like this pink music video, and I was like, what is going on here?
And somewhere in between, in the middle of all this, but before the Imperials show up, Mala makes her call to Leia.
Yeah.
And we get our Princess Leia in 3PO.
Leia, who cannot understand what Mala says.
Yeah.
She also
has no interest in talking to Mala.
True. She can understand Chewie.
Yeah.
But Mala just...
yeah.
Carrie Fisher just no selling. Like, I've got...
She's really
you,
like...
You, Goldenrod.
Again, she was like, I have 3 minutes to do this scene. Go.
Yeah, because Leia's like... Seriously, she's like, I don't want to tie up the line. Let's just... Just let me talk to Chewbacca, she says. Yeah. And they're like, I'm trying to tell you.
I got
Chewbacca
princess business to do.
Yeah. So they're just calling everybody and trying to figure out where Chewbacca is and get the cameos in.
Yep.
So
and of course
yeah.
they don't know.
Yeah.
We know that they're generic now because here
I don't
we get
even know
because here at some point
are
we
they
get
in trouble. I don't know.
Well,
really
at
know.
Some point we do get more because in the opening scene with the stock footage, they get attacked by Star Destroyers. And Han Solo blasts into warp drive or light speed. Sorry, I'm crossing my sci-fis there. He blasts into a light speed, and then a couple of what felt like hours later, we get more stock footage from Star Wars, and we get that same like less quality lit set, and they're cut in between the stock footage, and it's like, I know, I'm sorry, we exited hyperdrive too early, and we're in the middle of a convoy. Don't worry, Chewie, we'll get through this. We've been through worse. So now we know that there's some kind of trouble. So they're going from somewhere we don't know where. And they get entangled with the Imperials like twice now.
Right. But they didn't really show, because obviously they're just using stock footage. They don't really show them like in too much trouble. Just like they're flying away from TIE fighters.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I guess they're...
Was it, I mean, the same fight scene was happening throughout this whole...
Yeah.
Basically.
They do show the same shots.
There wasn't even like an attempt, because if they had access to the Wookiee costume, one would think that they would have had access to the models. And at least like the Battlestar Galactica guys could have thrown something together last minute for them, you know, as like a pro bono.
I mean,
thing.
You threw this whole holiday.
They probably read the script and were like, pass.
Pass.
We're busy that night. We got
But we have B. Arthur.
Oh my god.
Don't ruin the surprise, Cody.
Don't ruin it.
Maud in space.
I'm sorry.
Jack, you're so pretty.
I'm sorry.
So,
it's high on life day.
Yes.
I am high on life day.
So the Imperials finish up their search. They destroy
Lumpy's room, and then he kind of says, that'll give him something to do. And then they, like, leave.
Yeah.
But he leaves a stormtrooper behind in case Chewbacca comes back. And there should be one more Wookiee male. There should be one more Wookiee male in this domicile.
I was so hoping they would just all leave, because I just couldn't take all of the mismatch of confusion that they were causing each other,
mm-hmm.
already caused for the viewer. So I'm like, please, just leave. But no, he hangs out.
But for a simple scene, right? Now we've got a family of Wookiees who are waiting for their Wookiee patriarch to come home. He is a member of the Alliance, therefore they're kind of doing stuff on the down low, because if the Imperials who are occupying the planet find out, they'll probably all be imprisoned or worse. And then right when they think he's going to come home, the door opens up, the Imperials come in, search the place, and leave. I mean, that's a simple concept within the framework of the story they're trying to build. But no, we get they're looking for him, and then they're wasting time playing with interactive games. We have Art Carney. Is he on the planet or is he not on the planet? Then he shows up. Then he leaves. Then the Imperials show up. Then Art Carney shows up. Then they watch a music video. Then they all leave. But then one of them stays.
Well, we should mention, too, while they're still there, I forgot, this is when Lumpy watches the cartoon.
Yes.
Which is worth mentioning.
The cartoon... This was easily the best part of
Thank
the
Thank you. Yeah. That was far the best part.
Despite the fact that this animation did look pretty bad.
But
compared to the rest of
the
holiday
movie,
phenomenal.
I actually kind of liked the style of the animation.
I did too.
It wasn't bad.
It was kind of like
It was very angular and stylized.
It was like a grungy Ralph Bakshi kind of style.
I suppose.
It was definitely a late 70s kind of thing.
Yeah.
I was confused here.
It reminded me of early G.I. Joe looks, and I was like, I can get on board with this.
Lumpy is watching this. Is Lumpy watching what is happening to Han Solo and Chewbacca at that moment, and it was animated because it was cheaper to do that, to show us this chunk of their adventure?
I thought that's what it was until I watched it.
Or is he simply watching a fictionalized version of his own father's adventures?
You don't want to look too deep into it. It's going to just drive you mad. There's no answer that's going to be satisfying.
It can't be what's happening then, because then Luke would know where Chewbacca was.
Well, he already asked Luke where Chewbacca was. Then it's possible that Luke got in his X-Wing and caught up with them, you see? And then they end up on this planet of goop. And then we get introduced to one of the most infamous characters in Star Wars history, who's actually canonically introduced in this Star Wars holiday special. And that is...
that big dinosaur monster.
Boba Fett.
Come?
The dinosaur monster. Boba Fett.
Boba Fett makes his inaugural appearance in this film.
Wrong series.
I do think not to look into it too much, because that's wasting brain cells, but I do think that Lumpy was watching some sort of foreshadowing or getting some sort of communication that this is... He was using the Force.
There we go.
Is he a Jedi?
I mean, Lumpy again could be ahead of his time.
I hope they go there. With The Force Awakens. I hope they bring Lumpy back and he's a Jedi.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
Maybe this is a foreshadowing to that happening.
There you go.
Just put that out there.
Maybe.
But
this would have been an interesting thing to see, like in a Star Wars movie. This entire animated sequence would have been cool to see in like a live action, like a little adventure that, like maybe like a. like a 10-minute or 15-minute long short film that takes place between A New Hope and The Empire Strikes Back. This little scenario.
Kind of like if they did serials along the lines of what George Lucas based Indiana Jones on. Are based on like 1930s serials.
Yeah, just kind
of. Yeah, if they did a series of those, this would have made a good one.
It would have. I mean, it is the best part of the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
And we know they're good at 10-minute segments of things, so this could have been
They love that. They 10 minutes, what do we got?
All right, ready? Go.
Go. Just do it. What do we got? We got Han Solo goes onto this planet of goop or whatever, and he's like, I don't know, like they meet Boba Fett, who says, I'm a friend, I'm no love of the Imperials, I'll help you find the Millennium Falcon. Like, Luke finds him. Like, Luke is searching. I think this is supposed to be what's going on, because Luke is searching for them, right?
Yes.
Luke is searching for Han and Chewie, and he follows them to this planet because he follows their signal.
3PO is with them, though, in the cartoon, whereas
is the princess, though. So it's possible that Luke is where the princess is, and they phoned the same building but different extensions. So Luke is at one part of the building and Leia's at another. So then Luke says, oh my God, Chewie says that. Mala says that Chewie's not there, and then Leia says, well, oh my God, that must be Han's in trouble. I just spoke to them too. Luke, why don't you try to find them? And then he follows them to this planet. He's looking for the Falcon, right?
I'm gonna say...
And then Boba Fett lies, says he's a good guy, says he's going to help Luke, but in actuality he's trying to capture them to get this medallion that like can turn people invisible, which could be a great asset to the Empire.
I'm going to agree with you, because if this movie taught us anything, it's that anything is possible.
That's true.
It's kind of a dig move on both Leia and Luke's parts not to just call Mala afterwards and be like, oh, hey, we just saw Han or Chewie and he's okay. He's coming.
They had other things to do.
They had to get ready for Life Day.
That's true.
They had to get their red robes and their robes on.
Somebody's
got to
get ready for Life Day. Yeah. I mean...
Well, they never explain it. If this has any... If this
we need
is
to
a,
put the life back in Life Day.
If this is a canonical scene directed in animation or if this is a separate adventure altogether. It's never spoken.
It could honestly go either way, because I mean, it could be, you know, it's got Darth Vader looking for the rebels. It's got Chewie has some like Life Day medallion or something.
Well, yeah, it's supposed to be this magical amulet that turns people invisible, and they figure they could use that to help fight the Empire, and the Empire wants it.
Right.
But then Han gets hit with some sleeping virus.
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
That was bizarre.
Which would slow them down from getting home for Life Day.
It could.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest question, is where does this piece of animation fit in the storyline of the animated series? I mean, of the live action part of this television episode.
I don't know.
It probably doesn't tie in at all with the later animated series.
I honestly think they at no point do they try and connect even individually. It's like an episode of Family Guy.
Oh.
There are scenes that just exist off in a void. They don't really it just doesn't. They should tie in, but they don't. So there's
like,
no...
It's just like, and now this.
Yep.
Here's something.
And scene. Next scene.
More of the variety show.
Yeah. And then the Decepticon logo flips. Da-na-na-na-na. And then we're in a different place.
Yeah.
There we go.
So...
Different place, different time.
So I'm trying to think of...
Well, because now we come back, and now here is where the Imperial Stormtrooper busts up his room. And Itchy Lumpy is upset, and he decides he's going to put together his gift from Art Carney, which is a transmitter that he can presumably use to communicate
his
father.
All the random scenes in this movie, this one is the worst, I think. With
this is probably the
instruction of it. The instruction
painful.
Of the
Harvey, Harvey Korman explaining how to put the machine together and operate it.
And he's like a robot who's like slowing down and like seizing up.
Yeah.
Like, why would that be their instructional video?
And it wasn't even funny. I mean, it was like he just kind of did it in 2 minutes.
It was painful. It was annoying. Is what it was.
It was.
So he puts this thing together, and like I said, it's like a 5-minute instructional video.
I think it's like a beacon or something.
I don't know what it is, but he basically uses it to hack into some broadcast. Because at the same time, I think this is the Bea Arthur scene, right?
Oh yeah, because for your viewing enjoyment, we're going to show you what it's like on Tatooine, where these lawless people live or whatever.
It's like, this is required viewing, they say.
Oh, that's right. They do say it's required. They're going to force them to watch this.
This live video.
So that you can better appreciate your life living somewhere other than Tatooine.
Basically.
You think you've got it bad. Look at these poor schmucks.
But these poor schmucks are having fun. Like, I mean, there's no one in this bar that seems to be upset about the scenario that they're in. And
it's all fun and games till Bea Arthur starts singing.
Yeah.
Well, let's just say right now it's kind of sad. Well, it's not sad because, again, I respect Bea Arthur and her work. But when B. Arthur in a
that went down a couple notches after this though
in a Z grade made last minute TV special attempt to cash in on the Star Wars franchise, B. Arthur is the high point of this, except with the exception of the animation, scene. If you remove that, B. Arthur's at least she's trying. You can imagine her fitting into the Star Wars universe in a CD bar like this, like it makes sense.
Does it, Jack?
Honestly,
because she seems like sort of like a tough talking like barmaid in a swanky bar on the other side of the galaxy.
This is basically a Golden Girls prequel. This was the bar got shut down.
Yep.
She and her mother moved in with a couple of friends. Golden Girls.
There you go. What would have made more sense is to have Blanche have been behind the bar more so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, because she totally would have hooked up with Harvey Korman.
Right? But I mean, she's more of a bar scene. She's a bar scene.
That's
not,
a good
not
point.
The Dorothy character. Blanche.
That's a good point.
Blanche seemed more... She'd be hanging out at the bar, but actually running a bar... You want to run a business, you want B. Arthur.
I like it.
I don't know if I would go to B. Arthur's bar.
Well, I mean, Tatooine, you've only got so many options.
It's true.
Desert bar, someone to pour a drink
into my head.
Yeah. Well, this is the place you go. Well, she's getting hit on by Harvey Korman in his final appearance in third character. He's this alien who's infatuated with B. Arthur the bartender. And apparently this is the Star Wars cantina because it has the same cantina band and the same cantina music.
And a lot of the same cantina characters.
Yes.
Greedo, who's not Greedo.
There's a different Greedo. And then he comes in and he's hitting on her with like a flower, and she says, "I'm not gonna." There's this kind of funny scene where she's talking about, "You're wasting my time. Pay money for a drink. That's why I'm here. No, I'm so in love with you. Come on, buy a drink." Okay, buys a drink, and she pours it in his head because he's like an alien, and that's how he drinks. And then the Empire basically calls. The Empire shuts down the bar. And everyone's upset the bar is shut down, and she sings them a song to kind of cheer them up that someday they may be open again when the Empire is gone.
I want a timeout here. Do you think anything ran through B. Arthur's mind when she had to pour that drink into his head as an actress and as a person?
I honestly think it was,
what am I doing right now?
Okay, so this is the car payment, most of the mortgage payment, and I think that was basically what was running through her head.
Poor.
She was professional about the job, but it was very obvious she was not all that interested in the job.
But she was professional. She does at least more so than Art Carney and Harvey Korman. She does seem the most likely to fit into a Star Wars scene.
I could see that.
Like this, not an adventure-filled laser blast flying scene, but like an ambiance-type alien bar type scene.
I honestly do think, no joke, I do think that she, aside from the animated section, was the high point.
Yeah.
In this, like,
sure.
Before her song.
Well, the song was kind of dumb. Yeah.
All the musical
also
bits
went
in this
on
were
too
awful.
Long.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Too going on.
Like she was, her character was amusing.
Yeah.
I think she played the character fine.
Yeah.
But again, being the best thing in the Star Wars holiday special,
right.
is the faintest of praise.
It is.
Well, my whole thing, like with most of these like interstitial scenes, is just why is it happening? Like, what's this have anything to do with the story? Well, it's not contributing anything. It's not even like
Han and Chewie stop by the bar,
right? Yeah.
And she like knows them, and they need to get hidden. Like, we're being chased by Imperials. Can you help us? And B. Arthur like presses a button, and like a secret door opens up. She says, "Come on, go to the back." And then the Imperials come in. Where did they go? And she kind of distracts them with a song and a couple drinks and come on guys and she's like looking over her shoulder as Han and Chewie slip out the back.
It's basically just
that would have worked better.
Just closing time at a bar.
And then you forget
that they're forced to watch. That all Imperials are forced to watch.
Right,
this.
But then
this
you
is
forget
what happens
that they're still watching.
Yeah. This is what we do
in
small business
it,
in the Empire.
But they are too.
Yes.
It's basically, remember that scene from the movie? Huh?
Yep.
Remember Maud? You know,
Maud.
TV's Maud.
That's right.
Yeah.
So then at the end of this, because, yeah, like Farrah said, this is actually like a broadcast that people are sitting around watching on Life Day. At the end of this, it's like broken into, and there's like this alert to all Imperial officers, like return to base, whatever. So that's when they leave, right? And they leave the one stormtrooper behind.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So they leave him behind, they leave, and then this.
Oh, not dinner, but Anyone else notice that the officer leading this group loved to snap his fingers after every statement? That, like, all right, go over to that room. All right, go over to that room.
That's how you get
check this. That out. Look behind. It was.
How you get
I
stuff
think
done.
This was his moment.
The stormtroopers are like dogs.
Because there was a little. He did. I got the sense that maybe this actor was like really into it. Like, this was, is. Oh my God! I got to.
This
be,
is my
I,
chance.
I get to be part of Star Wars.
I didn't even.
I get to put on an Imperial uniform.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that till just
puts,
now.
He puts a dueling scar on his cheek. Like he looks kind of like a Nazi
That's
stormtrooper
his
from like
suggestion.
A.
I feel would make me look so... really rogue.
Yeah,
scar.
And he's all like stiff, and he's got the snap going, and I was like, I think this guy is kind of trying too hard, which is kind of sad.
I feel kind of heartbroken for this guy now.
Yeah, you feel kind
of
bad. Like
this is the highlight of his career.
He was trying.
I want to look this guy up, see if he's done anything else. Keep on.
We'll get it. So basically, yeah. So now the stormtrooper, isn't this where the stormtrooper finds Lumpy's?
Well, he hears.
He hears it.
He hears it from up in the loft, and he goes upstairs, and he sees.
And he smashes
he's
it.
With the train. Yeah, he smashes it and chases him down the stairs.
And then Chewbacca shows up.
Chewie and Han show
and
up.
Han, and he falls off the balcony.
Yes.
And we get the Wilhelm
Just
scream.
In the nick of time.
Yes.
They show up.
Absolutely.
Like, why else?
Except
would this be the
it
moment.
Was convenient.
Yes.
And again, we get no
we
sense
have
of anyone
have
else.
We
don't,
some danger in this.
Yeah.
We don't see them landing.
No. We don't right. find out how they no. made it here.
Do they no, climb no. that? Do they have to like climb the tree to get to the tree
I don't know. Like they weren't dressed up as stormtroopers. Like they knock people out.
Is there
and
an escalator
themselves.
We don't see?
I don't know. I
so
can't
many questions,
questions
left unanswered.
They didn't have time to paint those matte paintings.
No, they,
right.
They didn't.
Nobody painted in stairs.
So then we get a very, very awkward Harrison Ford interacting with
oh,
these
Oh, God,
rookies.
It was so oh, awkward. The
you kid... guys are like a second family to me. Lumpy, you got so big. Give me a hug. And I'm like, this
his
isn't
voice
Han
is
Solo.
Changing.
I mean, I get Han Solo has an appreciation for Chewie, and you get a sense that he would care about Chewbacca and his family, but this is, like, a little too cheesy.
Yeah. Well, and this is a scene where, finally, like, you know, with 5 minutes left in this movie, that I finally realize that Mala is Chewbacca's wife, because he goes in for a super creepy Wookiee kiss.
It was awful.
And I'm like, seriously, like, wait, isn't that his mom? What's going on? And I was
See,
like,
I
f- oh, that
I figured it
be.
Out earlier when the Imperial troopers were asking, where is your father? So I'm thinking, oh.
Well,
foreshadowing to Empire Strikes Back.
Right.
When they said that.
Where is your father?
When they said that, I did figure out that he that Lumpy was his son, but I still didn't know
you
about
You weren't sure what Mala was.
I still okay. thought Mala was
his Could have been like
mom.
Older spinster sister.
I thought that it was at that, because I do remember thinking now that you mentioned that, when they said that, that they were his grandparents and that he was staying with his grandparents okay. while Chewbacca was away.
You needed the awkward romantic scene.
I needed
scene.
That super okay. awkward scene to figure out that they were.
Cody needed that.
They were married. Yeah. That was his wife.
I guess
so. So yeah, there's like super creepy mother kissing or whatever, and everyone's happy finally, and Chewbacca made it home for life day.
And then we get like red cloaks,
just
and they're like
marching into the sun.
It's like the Stonecutters,
like floating
Simpsons
in space.
Yeah. Inspired.
It felt like a,
scene. Again, ahead of its time.
It was ahead of its time.
It felt like a Vulcan ceremony almost.
It was. Mm. It was. Yeah. I think Paramount needs to. You know, fire
and what was
here.
Great is that it completely did not explain Life Day.
No, it didn't.
There's never any.
That's what I like
this
about
ceremony.
I kind of like
oh,
that.
I'm like,
that
oh, I'm gonna get it. I'm
that,
gonna see
that
it.
That ambiguity, I think, kind of leaves the audience guessing. I kind
of
like that.
And the moral
of
the story is that Life Day is what you make of it.
That's right, because it's a song that Princess Leia sings shamelessly to the Star Wars theme.
It's a Life Day is a 2-hour special that I am never watching again.
Well, what?
And none of you can make me.
Well, this is what I get, right? The version
you'll come
that,
back to it.
The version that I saw. The version that I saw on YouTube.
I will fight you right now.
The version we watched on YouTube, whoever uploaded it, out of concern or for copyright strike reasons, had muted specific portions of the audio.
Yes.
Now, why didn't they mute this song for the audio? Like, I was like,
what?
Because
if they
songs.
Suffered, we had to suffer too.
You had to hear so. Carrie Fisher singing about Life Day. It was just the
celebrating
of the...
a day of harmony, and then Chewbacca.
I just
a bunch
wish
of B.
Arthur
close-ups.
Had come in and done a duet with her.
That would have been special.
Yeah, that would have been a holiday special.
That would have been.
So, yeah, I mean, Life Day is just they have like glowing orbs and they stand like next to a tree,
yeah.
is what I got out of it.
And
all I remember is them. The shot of them basically marching into the sun, just this
now
horribly.
It was kind of rude of Princess Leia to sing to them during Life Day. They're like, hey, we're just kind of trying to do our thing here, and you just come in and start singing. Like we just
right. She made the shot herself,
and we do get the whole cast now. We have R2 and 3PO and Princess Leia and Han Solo and Chewbacca and Luke Skywalker all in one scene together. They're all in one shot. So it's like
that was
all
also
together.
Shot during the 2 hours that they had all the actors.
Yep.
Make sure you get this scene in.
Yes. And then you just get, which I can only imagine, like Nick was saying earlier, is just another moment of them saying, we need to fill another 5 minutes or whatever, because they just show basically a highlight reel of Star Wars.
That made no sense.
Sorry we made you sit through that. Here's 5 minutes of better stuff.
Yeah, and they kind of sold it off as like, I looked like Chewbacca was reminiscing about his time with his friends during Star Wars.
I love being with my friends more than I love being with my family.
Like that time he risked his life to rescue a princess and try to save the galaxy and had an assist in the destruction of the Death Star and didn't get a medal while his two friends did. Yeah, that's something he should really be reminiscing about.
It hurts.
Yeah.
That pain.
That's what I was really going through.
The pain runs so deep.
Well, it's like a feats of
Chewbacca's
strength
instrumental
on
figure.
Life Day. Yeah. He was just airing his grievances.
Yes.
There we go. Oh, poor Chewbacca.
We even got new lines of Darth Vader dialogue that James Earl Jones recorded for
us. I was surprised by that. I was like, I don't think those are in the
original. No, they're not.
Okay,
search every household in the system.
One was during the cartoon.
This footage was stock.
The footage familiar with stock footage. Yeah, that was obvious.
But the voice in both obviously in the animation and in the one of the James Earl Jones scene was him.
Yeah, which I guess good for him.
Good for him.
Well, I mean, I'm gonna try to give them somewhat of benefit of the doubt and see if I can't put myself in like the months before its creation, right? Star Wars is incredibly popular. There's high demand for a sequel. A sequel's in the works, but it's going to take a really long time to do it because they're literally inventing new filmmaking techniques in order to put it on the screen. Lucas is starting his company. He's passing it off to another director. There's script rewrites going on. Kids really want Star Wars. Some television network calls them up. Is there anything you could give us, say, for the holiday season, right? And the idea of, well, let's come up with an idea for maybe like a half hour or an hour long TV movie that kind of bridges the gap. So from that standpoint, I could see Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, Harrison Ford, they're like, well, we're available for these dates and we're willing to do something because obviously we have a vested interest in the success of the series Star Wars. And we figured, it's for kids. How bad could it be? We'll run around on the sets. We'll shoot some lasers at some stormtroopers and that'll be the end, right? No one thought in a million years that we would get these sort of forced in. Let's get Harvey Korman in there. Let's get B. Arthur in there. Let's get Art Carney in there. Let's get a Christmas song. Let's feel like stock footage.
Like it was more like, hey, there's a lot of money to be had here. You guys want some money?
This is why you don't make a Star Wars production in what you said maybe a month or two. This is why.
Yes,
I guess.
This is why these take years.
They do. They do indeed. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Then you end up with ridiculous monologues and songs and
mash mash mixta mash mash
and Cirque du Soleil on your coffee table.
Where else would you want it if you were to have Cirque du Soleil in your house?
Where else would you want it though?
Let's just do a quick poll. Where would you want Cirque du Soleil if you were to have it in your house?
In my house.
I don't think I want it on the coffee table.
I would just opt out.
Yeah, isn't part of it like seeing
No.
Imagine though, at Christmas time or at Life Day time, you could have that like replaying on your front lawn, like as a Life Day decoration.
If I want to creep out my whole neighborhood, who doesn't want to creep out their whole neighborhood? Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Where would you have your porn chair in your house if you could have it in your house?
It would be in the loft of my massive treehouse, away from the youth of the Wookiee society to have their minds poisoned by it. Yeah.
Good answer.
I think that's where
Civic responsibility.
You know, consenting adults, they want to sit in the chair and enjoy some entertainment, then that's their business. But
and
you can't
let
the kids experience
And how
it.
Many TV phones would you have?
It's got to be one per room.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, one per room.
Yeah.
And different styles, too. I noticed that was...
Now, if you could have any other band besides Jefferson Starship in a suitcase, that you could just watch at a moment's notice, would it be?
Jefferson Airplane.
There you go.
Rolling Stones.
Oh. Imagine how popular a gadget like that would be amongst millennials. That'd be an easy Christmas gift. They just put One Direction in there for those girls.
and
they're like super jazzed about it.
They are.
We should invest in that.
Yeah,
I was going to say,
you could sell those $500 pop, maybe more.
And the best part is you can make them by hand.
Right.
Solo.
That was awful at the beginning of the podcast. It's awful towards the end.
It's a line in the movie.
My cookie thing was way better.
So Jack had some a little bit of trivia.
Yeah, apparently I was reading up real quick on the trivia of this, and a few of the interesting ones, there weren't that many, were mainly you were correct in your assumption that this was produced by a variety show people, had taken over the control of the production. Or were given control of the production. Lucas was involved.
He just took it.
Lucas was involved, but in an indirect fashion.
Basically just glanced at dailies from what I understand.
Apparently there were two tidbits of information that I thought were interesting or intriguing. One was that Carrie Fisher apparently asked when she did it, or at least after she did it, if she could have a copy of it from Lucas, like not a bootleg. She wanted an official copy of it that she claims, though albeit I'm assuming jokingly, she likes to play at parties near the end of the party when it's wrapping up and she wants people to go home.
Oh, that's a great idea.
That would do it. That would.
And whether or not that's true, I don't know. And the other was, I was reading that in the very, very early drafts of The Empire Strikes Back, there was a character that was going to be introduced who was sort of a playful, older, likable comic relief, but a little bit sleazy junk dealer from the Wookiee planet. Mm. This character ended up in the Star Wars Holiday Special. Do you know what that character's original name would be? Lando Calrissian.
Oh, Billy D. Thank wow. God you got better than that.
Yep.
Actually, I did find one other interesting fact.
Okay.
One other.
I think there's only one other
fact. I'm stretching the definition of
interesting. It's not much.
This actually, you hear Holiday Special, you assume it was released around Christmas time. It was actually released a week before Thanksgiving in 1978.
What?
Yes.
Couldn't wait.
Wow.
They really didn't want to ruin everyone's Christmas, I guess. I don't know.
Yes.
But it only aired the one time. For shocking. Very understandable reasons.
Oh, yeah.
And that's all I was able to really...
Oh, I did know that the initial director left halfway through. Why, I don't know.
Oh, I'm assuming. Surprising.
The person this guy directed the B. Arthur scenes, and that was it. To my knowledge.
You know what?
So they basically stayed checked in for the good parts, and then
well, good,
see ya.
Grading on a curve, yes.
All right. This really needed then was an
and
Alan Smithy
credit. He also commissioned the animated scene. To my understanding, he directed the B. Arthur scene and said maybe we should do a little animated segment.
Wow. See, if he had stayed around for the whole thing, it could have had some
like
hope.
A little bit better. Yeah, some new, like a new hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there would have been some hope. Potential, but
foreshadowing.
I feel like I was just thinking this. I feel like I enjoy watching this more than episode one. I would say.
Oh yeah.
I don't know how you feel. I know you hated this.
See, that's the thing. I'm not a huge Star Wars guy. No, like, okay. I enjoy the original trilogy, but I've never been...
Appreciation for it.
I've never been a Star Wars guy, so, mm-hmm. You know, I definitely don't care for the prequel trilogy, but I would much rather watch episode one than watch this again.
You've seen episode one?
Yes. this holiday special is like taking your brain and putting it right next to nails on a chalkboard. So, yeah, that's my take on preference.
Wow.
I think I feel that way about episode one, though. So.
Well.
If I
hadn't seen this,
I
may be on your side with a different comparison.
I don't know, having never attempted this experiment, but one can imagine that if a young child, let's say 6 years old, watches this or episode one, that they would, I think, see through the BS and see the lack of quality, and that they would be bored by the long sequences of music.
Oh, yeah.
And that they would be like, wait a minute, what's this? Whereas episode one, at least it's slickly produced, the editing is quick,
it's
the special
along.
Effects were big, it moves along, there's lots of adventure scenes. So I think that they would be like, yay, to episode one. And,
I'm
and
saying
what is this to
my
holiday
age,
special?
Not as a kid.
Well, no, as an adult, then absolutely. This one is more of a curiosity. Episode one is like a shameless grab at recapturing the franchise's glory that failed. There are people who were children then who appreciate it now. I certainly wasn't that fond of it. But this one, the Star Wars Holiday Special, is more like an intriguing experiment. Like, I can't believe this exists. Like, what the hell is this? And I just want to watch it again and again and again because it's just, I can't wrap my mind around it. Where episode one makes sense. Well, let's make more Star Wars movies. Okay, well, let's start before, since the original trilogy was called 4, 5, and 6. Why not do 1, 2, and 3? So it's less interesting to me. They just threw a bunch of money at a script and produced a movie that some people liked, but most people didn't. Whereas with this was like, it doesn't exist. No, 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 we don't speak of it. This thing, like Harrison Ford has been embarrassed by it, and you know,
Well, because he's had a legitimate career that...
Yeah.
Right.
This is a blemish, a very large blemish on
his... Well, and I have to think that one word comes to mind mm-hmm. for this, just like the traitor saying, oh, I have one word for this creepy movie. Wow. I have one word for this, and it's why.
I think it was just money.
My only assumption is like... I'm like, what? This is really happening.
This is Star Wars.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I
kept thinking maybe I'm watching the wrong movie and these are just joke scenes put together and someone did a really good job of, you know, making it look like those were the real characters.
That guy really looks like Art Carney. That's
amazing. It was real.
Yes, that's the unfortunate truth. So I guess that wraps it up for Star Wars Holiday Special.
I can't say anything else about this except, you know, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. This was our gift to you.
Merry Life Day.
Happy Life Day.
We are so sorry.
Yes. And this should be posted too on the day that the new one opens. So that's.
Yes. Hopefully.
Happy Star Wars Day to the Star Wars fans out there.
Yes.
Who will see the new one.
And it'll inspire everybody to watch this one and completely destroy their holiday.
I'm actually kind of hoping when I go into the theater that they kind of tease us and then they start to play the Star Wars Holiday Special
just
opening.
Just kidding.
And then, kidding! And then it goes into the real
By that point, film. The riots have already broken out.
Mm-hmm. I'm really shocked that they haven't released this like on Blu-ray.
I am not.
They've released Manos, the Hands of Fate.
How many people would buy it, though? I mean...
Right, but at the same time, it's one of those things where... I mean, I've always kind of... been under the impression that Lucasfilm, well, okay, if we can make a slight tweak and release a new version, we will. But when it comes to this is just so horrifically bad.
Yeah, but like, I mean, how much does Lucas whore out Star Wars? I mean, it's everywhere.
That's how bad everything. This is. I am not shocked that this is where he draws the line.
I wonder now that, because now Disney owns Star Wars. Now.
Oh, it's definitely never going to see the light of day as an official release.
But Disney has had some real turds, particularly in that odd phase, the pre-Eisner, before Eisner got
some
bad. Before the early Eisner days, they were kind of lost, and there was a little bit of a lull in the production. So one would think that maybe they'd be like, it's a curiosity, let's release it. Or maybe it's a special...
You'll see, you know, Disney movies that have, you know, poor stories. Uh-huh. And like, but when it comes to actual production quality...
Yeah.
There's something there. There isn't here. This is just...
That's a good point.
Made for $27.
Right.
A ham sandwich.
Yep.
Right.
And a ride to the set. That was the expenditure for this whole...
And a dream
that they can inspire...
To make enough money.
A dream to put B. Arthur pay this month's in Star mortgage. Wars. I think they should digitally get like a digital duplicate of B. Arthur and put her in The Force Awakens. Just in one scene. Just to say, hey, that happened.
Well, I think really what this teaches us is that more movies or TV shows in general should just have, you know, irrelevant scenes tossed into them from time to time that last about 10 minutes.
Isn't that all movies are? Isn't it really just like an endless stream of disjointed scenes edited together for the enjoyment of an audience?
Most of them don't have Jefferson Starship in them,
right.
So that's what most movies are seriously lacking.
Which brings me to my idea. A Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special. Jefferson Starship could work right into that. Yeah, they've got the whole 70s soundtrack concept built right into Guardians of the Galaxy.
Sense. And they could do it like as a satire of this. And they could probably get the actors and at least do like a 15-minute web. That wouldn't be so bad. I wonder if they could do that just as a joke.
Disney, call me. Please return my calls. I'm looking to make some kind of money. I apologize.
He'll do this for two ham sandwiches and $45.
There you go.
Inflation.
Inflation. Disney, that's Disney money right there.
Exactly.
So I guess, that wraps it up. We'll be back after the holidays, I think.
Yes.
Sometime in the new year.
After everyone's recovered from this.
It's going to take a while.
Our Life Day hangovers. I'm not sure what we'll be doing, but we'll
do something.
We'll do something.
I've had suggestions thrown at me left and right. A lot of good ones. So I'm not going to tease them.
There's no shortage of bad movies.
As our great and wonderful curator used to always say, let's just not tease the next episode because, you know, we're under the problem of not getting to it.
Well, he was notorious for teasing episodes for 3 years before we actually did
promising. This. So I have received. Yes.
Like this
I've been on the hunt for guest hosts, and I have several suggestions for bad movies to come.
We'll
a lot of really
that.
Good suggestions.
We'll talk about that and come up with some ideas and be back in the new year. And that's that.
Fantastic.
All right.
Why?
Just why. We'll see you all next time.
I'm your fantasy.